This is Rick Elgin for AC Emmerich. See you tomorrow night about 8 o'clock. That's Herb Alpert there. I have dreamed. It's 11 o'clock at KOIN Portland.
CBS News. A disturbance at the often troubled Maine, Tennessee State Prison in Nashville has caused some injuries. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Details on the Nashville prison trouble now from Bill Jenkins of station WSIX.
Inmates at the Tennessee State Prison here in Nashville began a disturbance around dinner time tonight, and so far at least two guards and possibly two inmates have been injured. The trouble started when the kitchen ran out of pork chops they were serving and began substituting bologna instead. The events have taken an apparently violent turn. A short time ago, reports of sporadic shotgun fire were made and at least one severe injury. A man who appeared to be an inmate was taken away from the prison by ambulance, covered with blood and a breathing tube in his throat. Inside the prison at the moment, the 12 inmate grievance committee is now meeting with acting warden Robert Morford and other administration officials, and no details of the negotiations are yet available. This is Bill Jenkins for CBS News in Nashville, Tennessee.
All the inmates are now reported back in their cells. President Ford ends a day of campaigning in New Hampshire, back at the White House now, but he hits the road again in a few hours. That and more news in a minute.
There are still people out there who haven't tried Alarest for their hay fever. Alarest, in tablets or time capsules. Use only as directed, only when needed.
Hi, world. Denny Brackett. Now, if you're running out of ideas for the family menu, why don't you listen to Mike's cooking thing? So, what's a good word for tomorrow's show, Chef, huh?
Before I give it to you, I'm going to put a lock on the cookie jar.
Why is that?
Because you like to steal cookies.
Are they good cookies?
Yeah, they're date nut squares.
Date nut squares.
And they go in a round cookie jar.
Oh, we got dates and nuts?
In a cookie jar.
Squares, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, listen, why don't you help me rob the cookie jar tomorrow? We'll have dates and nuts, and we'll get square about the whole thing right here on the CBS Radio Network, we will.
President Ford had better sleep fast tonight, as the saying goes, just back at the White House after a strenuous day on the campaign trail in New Hampshire, a tour which included 21 speaking appearances. Mr. Ford takes off again Friday morning for a two-day political tour of five cities in Missouri, Kansas, and Texas. Thursday, Mr. Ford stumped on behalf of Lewis Wyman, the Republican candidate in the New Hampshire Senate special election against Democrat John Durkin next Tuesday. Though the tour came only 6 days after the apparent assassination attempt in Sacramento, the president mingled freely with the crowds. Apparently, he wore a bulletproof vest. Bulges were visible beneath his regular clothing, but there was no official confirmation. The three-man U.S. negotiating team just arrived in the Soviet Union, held 5 hours of conversations Thursday with Soviet foreign trade officials. The U.S. team is trying to arrange for future grain sales to the USSR to be made on a long-term basis to try to ease the disruptive impact quick, huge grain sales have had on the U.S. economy. There's also to be discussion on a proposal to swap bushels for barrels, U.S. grain for oil from the Soviet Union, the world's largest oil-producing nation. The Senate will try again Tuesday to get the ball rolling toward compromise with the White House on domestic oil price controls. Thursday evening, after hours of debate, the senators failed to pass a measure for a 2-month extension of controls, which would be followed by an effort to pass legislation for a gradual 39-month phase-out of the controls. Earlier in the day, the House took just 2 minutes to okay legislation, providing for a temporary 60-day controls extension. It's reported from Cairo that the Egyptian government has shut down the operations of the Palestine Liberation Organization's radio station there, apparently because of the station's repeated attacks on the new Israel-Egyptian Sinai agreement. The move came just a day after a similar PLO radio station in Iraq broadcast a report that Egypt's President Sadat recently survived an assassination attempt. The Egyptian government called that report untrue, a lie, and rubbish. More after this.
We shall overcome, we shall overcome.
Not too long ago, this was both the most loved and the most hated song in America. But as we began to overcome the problems this song symbolized, we realized there was still much more to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge could resolve. Today, we stand closer than ever to the answers to these problems. Close, but not close enough. Give to the college of your choice now so that our young people can make the difference between a bright tomorrow or maybe no tomorrow at all. That way, I'll bet we can overcome just about anything.
We can overcome someday.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
A long-expected announcement of a leave of absence for Argentina's embattled and exhausted president, Isabel Perón. The Argentine foreign minister said Perón would forsake her duties for 45 days, probably staying someplace in the south of Argentina. She'll delegate power to the president of the Argentine Senate, currently next in line for the presidency since the country does not have a vice president at the moment. The 45-day rest is the maximum time Perón would be away. The statement said she'll probably be back on the job in time for the October 17th celebration of Loyalty Day, honoring Mrs. Perón's late husband, Juan Perón. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
These are reports at KOIN Radio News. As of 11:06 this evening, Governor Bob Straub agreed tonight to call a special session of the Oregon legislature next week to correct a new law that threatens to impose a blackout on information from police and court records. Straub ordered the 90 lawmakers to convene Tuesday morning. 56 technicians at Television Channel 6 in Portland have rejected a 3-year contract proposed by management. The newsreel cameramen, floor directors, film editors, and engineers also voted 42-3 to strike if the issue of salaries cannot be settled otherwise. Meanwhile, a strike of 30 technicians at Channel 8 was in its 9th day today, with more negotiations scheduled tomorrow. Inmate complaints and problems at Oregon's 3 correctional facilities might be dealt with by a trio of ombudsmen in the future. A subcommittee of the State Emergency Board today approved the establishment of the 3 positions. The United Veterans Groups of Oregon announced the member organizations have passed resolutions calling for any new Veterans Administration hospital to be located near the University of Oregon Health Sciences Center. Despite the death of 5 students in an avalanche at Mount St. Helens in Oregon last spring, in Washington rather, last spring, the University of Puget Sound says it plans to offer a mountain climbing course again this year. The weather for our area continues fair and quite warm tonight. Expected to be the same Friday and Saturday. That'll mean overnight low temperatures in the lower 50s. High temperatures both tomorrow and Saturday, 90 to 95. Easterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour with a chance of rainfall near zero through Friday night. The current temperature downtown Portland at KOIN Radio is 77 degrees. Next news comes at midnight from CBS. The time is 8 minutes past the hour.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Won't you sit down and relax with me for the next, a little less than an hour and listen to a tale of murder? Or is that statement exactly fair? The dictionary definition of murder is the unlawful killing of another human being with malice aforethought. Well, undoubtedly there is killing and malice aforethought, but the question here is what or who was killed.
Don't try to blame it on me. It's always blamed on me. I won't take it any longer. I won't take the guilt. Where else did it lie? Not on me. Not on me ever again. I'll make sure of that. I'll kill you. How can you kill what was never alive? Only one way. I'll tear you apart. Yes. Yes, without you, I have no life. What? You have left without me. I no longer care. Tear you apart, limb from limb, socket by socket.
Freddy, in heaven's name, what are you doing?
I'm destroying what is destroying me.
But there is no act without the two of you.
There is no me, as long as he exists. You know that better than anyone, Sarah. It's done. Forever. Maybe now I can live. Maybe it's worth the murder. to achieve some kind of freedom.
Our mystery drama, The Voice of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Victor Jory. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person. Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall.
Not too long ago, this was both the most loved and the most hated song in America. But as we began to overcome the problems this song symbolized, we realized there was still much more to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge could resolve. Today we stand closer than ever to the answers to these problems. Close, but not close enough. Give to the college of your choice now so that our young people can make the difference between a bright tomorrow or maybe no tomorrow at all. That way, I'll bet we can overcome just about anything.
We can overcome someday.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Ventriloquism, one of man's most ancient arts. It's as old as the Chinese cultures, and almost certainly it was practiced by priests who created such seeming miracles as the speaking statues of Egypt and the Greek oracles. Down through the millennia, it flourished, and when it became sheer entertainment through vaudeville, radio, and TV, it reached its highest popularity. Then, as suddenly, ventriloquism suddenly lost its popularity. A fact that Janus the Great is not yet prepared to face.
Who was I? Fat Freddy Goldstein from the East Bronx, a little schlep. I was scared to go to school even. They beat up on me all the time because I wouldn't fight back, and it was funny to watch a fat kid cry. Then I read an ad in the paper and saved up my lunch money to send away for Professor Fantasorio's magical method of voice projection. Amaze, delight, and mystify friends and foes alike by the ancient and mystical art of ventriloquism. It changed my life. Because for some reason it was easy to me. I mastered the art in a month and held a golden key that unlocked the world for me. At 16, I was playing parties and school dates. I got in at the very end of radio's golden era. But where I really hit it big was television. By then, I was calling myself Janus and Alias. And then, suddenly, by the late 1960s, I was a has-been. The gold all faded. The club dates I played were a disaster, and a lifetime of splitting myself in two ended in murder.
Fred, look what you've done to him. We'll never put him back together now.
What do you care, Sarah?
What do you mean?
Isn't this the way you've always wanted it?
Oh, Fred, you're sick.
You always thought he came between you and me.
Who?
Him, the dummy.
I never said that once all these years.
But you thought it.
Well, he was always the first thing in your thoughts. You combed his hair, pressed his clothes, washed his face, even behind his ears like he was a child. We never even kept him in a box. He was always there wherever we were. We were never alone. You even used to talk to him off stage. Yes, I was jealous. Now maybe I'm glad you've destroyed him. Maybe now we can have what you'd never let me have.
What? What did I ever refuse you?
A child? A child of my own?
How could we have a child, Sarah? Always on the road, always moving, living in hotels. Children weren't for us.
You could have left me behind with our child or our children.
And travel alone?
Don't you think that I could have gone ahead and had a child? How could you have stopped me? But I didn't because...
Because?
It wouldn't have been fair to the child. It would have been my child, not something we shared, just as he was your child. Oh, Freddie, what's wrong with you? How could you have done that to him?
It doesn't matter. He's gone.
Well, let's see if we can't put him together again.
No! Leave him alone. Don't touch him.
Fred!
He's dead. Smashed. He couldn't be repaired, and he's not going to be repaired, because there's nothing to repair him for.
Darling, what is it?
Don't you see? I'm as dead as he is.
You got fired again.
I'm through, Sarah. It's all over. There's no Janus the Great.
No, that isn't true, darling. You're tired. You've been overworking. A good night's rest.
What am I going to do? We have no money. I have no other talents. I'm back once again to where I began, Fat Freddy from the East Bronx. When I killed Alias, I might as well have killed myself. I had no rest that night. What a night it was. After Sarah, worrying herself frantic about me, finally got to sleep, the things began happening. The first pain when it came was so intense and piercing that in spite of myself, it... My God! I bit my lip till the blood came, trying to stifle my cry so that I shouldn't bother Sarah. But my arm felt as though some giant had broken it across his knee. And then the second one came. A blow that compressed my brain and sent it spinning. Dear God, what's happening to me?
Fred? Fred? What is it? Darling, are you all right? Oh, it's 5 a.m. You're still awake.
Sarah, a dream. What a dream. I felt like I was broken on the rack.
I'll get you some aspirin. You're coming down with something, mark my words.
I'm coming down with something, all right. Tomorrow, first thing, I'll take care of that.
Take care of what?
What I did to my poor little dummy. Tomorrow, I'll go to the professor and see if he can put Alias together again.
If that's what you want.
Never mind if it's what I want or not. It's what must be done.
So now you've made up your mind. Maybe you could sleep a little.
What I am, I am. Too late to change about the dummy and me. But one thing it isn't too late for is a child. If you...
Oh, what could I do with a child? I already have one in my arms. Sleep a little, darling, sleep. And maybe we could find a new tomorrow.
I could sleep now. The pains were all still there, but dulled and able to be forgotten. I nestled close to Sarah and she held me close. And suddenly it came. The blessed curtain of sleep. And the wonderful feeling that all the decisions had been made and the future smoothed away.
You did this to my creation?
Professor, I paid you for him.
For the intricate balance of wire and joints that gave him reality. And more than that, the control of the eyes, the mouth, the tongue between the teeth. A model of the human figure, a scarce step below actuality. He's been destroyed beyond belief. It's vandalism. He cannot be repaired.
You must forgive me, Professor Manzini, but my art is a lost art, and yours may be too.
What? What do you say?
We live in a world where miracle, illusion, magic are forgotten. Words and symbols mean little more than what they state.
We live in a world where nothing that is said, no words, no statement means anything at all. Yes, you were right about our profession. I've had my dissatisfactions, too. which have led me deeper and deeper into the recreation of form, the humanoid form, the complete replica of man. I am so near, Janus. So near.
What are you saying?
I've created a dummy. No. Forget that awful word. A robot. Half life size. Capable of everything. Movement, reaction, everything except actual speech. By electronic control, you can move this figure, activate it, make it sit or stand or bend. But to make it speak, that is beyond me. Only a master of ventriloquism can effect that. Will you lend your artistic talent to my mechanical genius and create a new miracle?
Need you ask? I'm desperate.
You don't have to worry any longer, Janus. Here, come with me a moment. Let me show you my new masterpiece. There he is. How do you like him?
His face. It's the exact image of mine.
Well, I had to have a model. Who better than you? Here, take this control. Ask him to get up and come to you.
What do I call him?
Well, he's you to the life. And it's a great title. The Great Janus and, Self. Yes, that's its name.
Self. I am Janus. Will you come to me? Do you want me to be your master?
Well, why don't you make it answer?
I'm trying to, but maybe I'm out of practice. I'll try again. Do you know me? Will you answer me when I talk? If you tell me the answers, how did you find Chicago? I just got off the plane and there it was. I don't know if I want this dummy, Professor.
Oh, the elements are sensational. This is only a working model. Let me build you the complete dummy and you'll thank me forever.
I've told you, Professor, I haven't the money.
Yes, I know. So I'll offer you a proposition. I'll build you a humanoid that will walk, move, bend, jump, do anything you ask it to. That's my contribution. All you must provide is the voice. That is beyond me. We'll go into a simple partnership. 50-50. On all our earnings. Will you accept that?
I don't have to put up any money to own a humanoid that moves and acts like any other person?
You will pay. Now leave. I must get to work. I will finish Self. Arrivederci, Janus.
Arrivederci. How will I know?
I will call you the moment he is finished.
I don't know how to thank you, Professor Manzini.
Oh, yes, my sometimes friend. No need to thank me. Nor will you want to when I'm finished with you. Murderer. Assassin. To have killed one of my children. For that you will pay. I could have struck you dead today for what you did to one of mine. But I stayed my hand a little while. I have other plans for you than just revenge.
Professor's apparent kindness is only a mask to hide his revenge for the destruction of one of his creations. But how does he expect to accomplish that? And what other plans does he have in mind? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus strainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Summer is a time when many vacationers travel by air.
Before you take a plane trip, you should know your rights. If you're denied boarding or bumped from a flight on which you have a confirmed seat, you're entitled to compensation equal to your fare under certain conditions. If you'd like to learn more, send for a copy of Air Traveler's Fly Rights. It's free from Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. That's Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, zip code 81009.
Everybody, this is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
Ventriloquism. The name is a misnomer, since its Latin roots mean simply speaking from the belly. In actual fact, the illusion is produced by depressing the vocal cords, pulling the tongue inside the mouth to create words, and by keeping the lips from moving. Still, practiced by a master, the illusion is indistinguishable from reality. So much so that the great English philosopher Henry Moore was moved to say, "Who knows, but some of his counterfeit ventriloquists may prove true ones," which is another way of saying, which is the dummy and which is the master.
When I got home to Sarah with the news about the new act and how I was sure it would put me back in the headlines again, she was less enthusiastic than I'd hoped. Oh, I knew she was pleased for me, but behind the pleasure and the love in her eyes, I could sense a darkness, a foreboding that she couldn't hide.
I'm so glad, Fred. You know what a fierce old warrior the professor is. I thought he'd never forgive you for what you'd done to his masterpiece.
So did I. But I think this new thing he's building is what saved me.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, he's an exact replica of me, like a twin brother.
Just as long as you'll be happy.
You're not?
Oh, I don't know, Fred. This one is so big, so different. The other little fellow was like a child.
Don't, Sarah.
I wouldn't care if you drove a bus or sold shoes or collected trash. At least I'd have you to myself.
You've always had me, Sarah. There's never been anyone else.
Oh, women I never had to worry about. No matter how they gathered about you. You're a very handsome man, Fred.
I have to be. Look at what I married, the most beautiful woman in the world.
An old lady like me. Since I first saw you, there was nobody but you for me.
Now you regret it?
Oh, never. It's just that I'm so completely yours, all of me. I wish only sometimes I could have you to myself the same way.
But you do. The dummies, alias, any of them. They aren't your rivals, darling. Not in any way.
Are you sure?
I raise my hand to God.
Oh, no, don't.
Why not?
Because you're only lying to him and to yourself. Don't you see, Fred, they're all your children. The children I never had, the children I can't share.
Why have you stuck with me all these years?
Because I love you. The part of you I've had. But I wish I... Oh, how I wish I could have had all of you.
Sarah, listen. It's going to take the professor a couple of months to finish the work on self. Cy Kaplan can take care of all the bookings. I've already talked to him, and he's sure we got a smash going. I got all the material I need, and Joe and Irving can be running me up some topical stuff. They'll do it on spec for me. So why don't you and me just run away?
Run away?
You picked the spot.
just so we have enough cash or can borrow enough to make it. Bermuda, the Bahamas, Mexico.
Oh, Fred, I can be packed tonight.
We had nearly 2 months on an island in the Caribbean where the beach from our cabin stretched as far as you could look from left to right. The long walks, the swims, the fish diet, and the simple local foods trimmed me down and took 5 years off my looks. Most of all, the peace. And a strange transformation that was happening inside my own mind. From the beginning, I'd always known what Sarah meant by my split personality. From the moment we landed on the island, I had set myself to persuade her that it no longer existed. And in the process, I found that I no longer had to persuade myself. It was gone. I called the professor only once during our long vacation.
Hello?
Professor, it's Fred Goldstein.
Oh,
Janus.
Si, come sta, amici?
Wonderful.
Self is not yet finished.
Good.
Good?
I mean, only that I'm enjoying the only vacation I've ever had in my life, so...
I advise you to enjoy it to the full. When I've completed your alter ego, you will have little time for play.
You're that optimistic?
I am that optimistic. I have an instinct about these things. I think you will find yourself when you see yourself. I'll send you a message soon when I'm ready. You'll come straight back?
Sure, Professor, sure. Under the circumstances, I'm at your command. Till I hear from you.
Ciao.
Driving back to our beach cottage from the nearest little town where there was a phone, I found a host of things running through my mind. How happy and carefree the last weeks had been. What they had meant to Sarah. Paramount over all was my return to my own personal freedom. To being my own man. Not to have to depend on a fabrication of wood, steel, and wires to which I had lent half my own personality. Over which I had to split myself. It was in that frame of mind I should have decided my life. Except when I got back home, the decision wasn't mine. Oh, what is it, Sarah?
Oh, I don't know. I'm afraid to hope, but I hurt so you've got to get me to the hospital.
What is it, Liebchen?
Well, I think I'm making a better image for you than Professor Manzini with all his skills could ever make. I think I'm pregnant with our child, Fred. Oh, don't let anything happen to him.
It was a wild trip to the local airstrip, a chartered plane and on into Nassau. Sarah had to spend 2 weeks in bed there resting before we were allowed to return home. We wouldn't have left then if it hadn't been for a flurry of phone calls. The professor had finished.
Benvenuto, Janus. Come sta?
Sta bene, maestro. Where is he?
Gently, each thing to its own time. Have you had a good vacation? You look like Othello.
I guess I picked up quite a tan.
And now is your good wife?
Sarah? Oh, she's fine now.
She didn't lose the child?
No, thank God. It was just an early threatened miscarriage. But we got to Nassau on time.
Well, I made a decision while you were gone. Since we're breaking convention, moving into a new relationship, I made certain structural changes.
All right, whatever you decide, you're the master builder.
And you, the master magician.
It needs both of us to create the illusion.
True. Just so long as it is illusion. Signore.
Huh?
My pills in the little bottle on the inlaid table.
Here. How many? Do you need water?
No, just nitroglycerin. One under the tongue. I have an old heart that has been working too long. Thank you.
Is there anything else I can get for you?
Not any more than you will be getting me very soon. There. Now I'm all right. You wish to meet your alter ego?
You can imagine. I'm dying to meet the dummy which will bring ventriloquism and me back into the spotlight again.
Baby. It will be the same as before, except that now, physically, he is perfect. You will move, walk, perform any physical function, except talk. That is where you are the creative one. There is...
He's absolute perfection. How could you tell him from a human being?
He cannot speak. Only you can teach him that.
Teach him?
Well, provide him with a voice and language.
Should we dress him first?
Oh, by all means, let us dress him. And then find out what we have. Or as the Bible would have said, what has been wrought.
Together we dressed the flexible but unresponsive body. A body so like mine, except so much younger and more perfect. And all the while we worked, this curious feeling whenever I glanced up to find myself looking at me, or me looking at self. Finally, the moment was there to animate him.
So, Ecke, this very small remote control you hold in your hand can make him do everything but speak. Let me show you how the control works. Self, would you make us both a drink? Scotch on the rocks for me, a vermouth cassis for Mr. Janus.
Fantastic.
Sure, I showed you before.
But that was a robot. This is a replica of a human being. Who could tell the difference?
No one. They accept us. He needs only one more thing to make him complete. A voice.
He's too terrifying. What right have we to invest a complete human being with a voice?
It's the only thing he lacks.
No. If we are to be an act, there is something also he lacks totally. A brain. The power of thought. Whatever issues from his mouth are my thoughts, my words.
Think of the magic of it all. A figure, able to move exactly as a human, engaged in a dialogue which you alone control.
But how is an audience conscious of that? How do they know that there is any magic happening before them?
Because at the end of the act, or before, however you build it, you turn this figure around. So, and you open this door in his back, like that, and he is revealed as a robot. A mass of gears, cams, springs, the antithesis of a human. A piece of machinery constructed of moving parts.
Something nags at me and tells me there's a flaw in this.
Oh, you have a mountain of debts. How else do you repay them?
Well, I suppose I'm just a sentimental fool, but somehow you make me sound like Faust. You're right. This is the only way I can dig myself out of debt and start a future for my child. You have an act, Professor. Janus and self. I'll start to work it up immediately, and I hope it'll catch on.
I know it will.
I have a feeling it will. But is it the success I want? I wish I could be sure of that.
Another old-time quote on ventriloquism was one that had an evil spirit speaking in his belly. But suppose by some supernatural act, the reverse were true, that somehow the ventriloquist became the victim, and that the doll, the dummy, the alter ego tipped the scales and took over from him.
Let's see what happens when I return with Act 3.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas? Oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
A prenatal care message from the March of Dimes.
Hello, this is Bobby Bonds of the New York Yankees. We know how important the number 9 is in the game of baseball, but the number 9 also means something special to an expectant mother, because normally the mother's body serves as her baby's home for its first 9 months. Proper nutrition is especially important at this time, because what the mother eats is the only nutrition the unborn baby gets. Eat well for your baby's good health. The March of Dimes says, be good to your baby before it is born.
Come on over for a drink.
What is a drink? Where is it written that a drink is not a drink unless it contains a slug of alcohol? Isn't lemonade a drink?
Aren't you drinking?
Isn't coffee, fruit juice? Tea, water, soft drinks, are those non-drinks?
Let's get together for a drink.
Is it so uncool to drink something that can't change your perception of reality?
Let me buy you a drink.
The strange idea that only drinks containing alcohol are real drinks is so built into our society, it has actually become part of our language.
I'll drink to that.
And maybe that's part of our national drinking problem. What is a drink? Think about it. This message is brought to you as a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Would you like a drink?
I wonder what he meant by that.
Janice and Self were an instant hit. For 2 months, the act was shaped and polished and then brought into New York, where it opened to raves. Show after show was designed and built around them. International offers poured in. A countrywide tour was planned. Only two rifts in the lute. The first had to do with Professor Manzini.
It was the day I was to pick up Self. The maestro had wanted to make a few final adjustments, he said. And I had been working desperately to finally come up with a voice that I hoped was completely humanoid. Sarah felt it was, so did my agent. I was anxious to let the professor hear it himself, but I never had the chance. No answer. That's strange. He knew I was coming. Why would he have gone out? His heart. Professor! Professor Manzini! It's me! Janus, Professor! He was seated in his old armchair, head lolling to one side, one hand over the chair as if to receive a pellet from the bottle held in Self's hand. Self himself was bent over, frozen in the act of spilling it out of the already opened bottle. I took his pulse quickly, listened to his heart. The professor was dead. I stooped and picked up the control box, depressing the button. You can straighten up now, Self. Give me the bottle. Thanks. When did he die? Of course, how stupid of me. What a triumph you are that I should forget even for a moment. At a moment as crucial and heartbreaking as this, that you're only a dummy. Isn't that right?
Yes, Master. That's right.
I shouldn't make you call me that. Do you mind?
Why should I mind? Don't you control me?
Yes, I suppose I do. Except you seem so human.
And a little frightening because I'm so much your twin.
Wait a minute. Well, what's this? Attached to this note is a copy of my will, It makes you the executor and sole heir to all my possessions. May they bring you all you deserve. I have done everything in my power to make sure you will get everything that's coming to you. Did you hear that, Self? You're all mine now.
I am all yours.
Fred, wait a minute. Don't be so fidgety. Let me tie your tie.
I'm sorry, Sarah. It's the schedule. I just hope my voice holds out.
I got some lemon and honey for you. Here, drink.
What would I do without you?
Fred, why don't you give it all up? Who needs it?
We do, till the bills are paid.
Well, not with what the professor left us.
I don't want his money. I want my own.
Oh.
What is it, honey?
Oh, it's just the baby. He kicks so much these days. Regular soccer player he'll grow up to be.
You take care of yourself.
Oh.
Now, don't worry about me. I don't want to have to start worrying about you.
What else is it you're worried about, Fred?
Nothing. Just the grind.
Well, you'll tell me if it's anything else.
I'll tell you. What could I ever keep from you, Sarah? But there were things I was keeping from Sarah. Things I even tried to keep from myself. Something strange was happening in the act. Sometimes I'd sort of blank out on the stage. There would be periods when I was never sure exactly what had been said. And then there was a growing pressure on my throat, creating a voice that was unnatural for a ventriloquist, no matter how natural it might be to the audience. I went to my doctor about it, and he advised rest. But that was impossible with the contracts I had to fulfill. I took my problems to Sarah.
You mean he talked without you?
I don't know, Sarah. It seemed that way.
But how?
Well, you know the old routine. Just to take, for example, where I say, where were you born? He says, in a hospital. And I say, why? And he says, because I want to be near my mother. I've done it so often. The exchange seems completely authentic. But last night, the strangest thing happened, like it's happened before, I think. Only, maybe I'm crazy.
What, Fred?
I asked the question, where were you born? And he answered,
oh, who cares about me? Where were you born?
And I said, in a hospital. And he said,
why?
And I said, because I wanted to be near my mother. It's crazy. Turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Like he controlled me instead of...
Oh, Fred, you've got to quit. It isn't worth it anymore. You're killing yourself.
Why didn't I listen to her? But there was the child to think of and the usual obsession, money. The climax came near the end of my engagement at the music hall. These moments of blanking out in the middle of the act had become more and more frequent. And so had the visits to the doctor for my hoarseness. It took all my strength to go on this performance, except that I knew Sarah was in the audience. I loaded myself with pep pills, gargled, drank coffee by the gallon, and made my appearance. But I was so drugged, shaken out of myself, that the performance was strictly by rote, routine, mechanical, until... you think that's funny, do you?
How can I help it?
What do you mean?
What you think, I think, right?
Wrong. It's time you learn to think for yourself.
Okay. How come if we have to pretend we're doing this silly ventriloquist act, I don't sit on your knee?
That's a silly thing to say.
Just like everything else I get to. Why?
You're just as big as I am. That'd be ridiculous.
Not any more than the rest of this act. Anyway, why do you always get to sit down and I have to stand?
Don't get mad.
Oh, I'm not the one who's crazy. You have to be if I sound that way.
All right. If you want to sit down on my lap, come on.
Thank you, Daddy. Isn't this just like old times? Let's do Sunny Boy.
When there are gray skies...
What can they all be, Daddy?
Let them all be gray skies.
What'll I do with them?
You'll make them blue.
What's my name?
Sonny boy.
What about your friends?
When
the moment Fred had left the prepared act, I had a horrible foreboding that something terrible was wrong.
Do you still have?
And for a long while, I sat frozen to my seat. How could I stop it? The audience wasn't far behind me, realizing something had gone terribly wrong. And that awful thing that happens only in actors' dreams was taking place right up there on the stage. My husband, making a fool of himself and seemingly powerless to stop it.
God bless you.
I sat there to the bitter end.
And now for the final unbelievable moment when we offer you the climactic proof of what you've known from the beginning. That despite the evidence of your eyes, ears, and all the other senses, there's on this stage only one living man, myself. The other is, turn around, self, the greatest living robot the world has ever known. A humanoid, complete in every sense, except that he is voiceless. Now, I open the back to prove that he is not alive. Not a human, but a mechanical contrivance of human ingenuity. What's the matter? Where?
This is not your night, Janus.
Why don't you turn around and let the audience know the truth? Turn! Drum roll! Presto, presto, watch and see the truth!
The audience reacted as always, as the door in the dummy's back swung open. My reaction was horrifyingly different, because the door that had been opened was not in the dummy's back, but what for 20 years of married life had been my husband's.
What happened out there, Self?
Since we are alone and the time is right, I will reveal myself.
Professor!
None other. I can't tell you how many bodies I've used. Stolen their souls from them to house my own. The only children I've ever had are my puppets, my marionettes, my dummies. When you murdered Alias, I made up my mind to take your body and punish you in the process. I've had my revenge. I told you in my will I'd make sure you got everything that was coming to you. I think I kept my promise.
But you're not finished.
The curse that was laid on me is quite specific. I must find a body to occupy for at least 10 years before I make an exchange or descend to everlasting hell. The one I've taken from you will serve. You have your choice. Continue as a voiceless dummy or destroy yourself. I couldn't care less.
Fred! Fred, what is it? Oh, what's the matter?
I have no more use for either of you. I shall leave. Oh, Mrs. Goldstein, you might need this.
What is it?
The control box to make your husband move. I'll even leave you his voice, since it's become so hoarse and unpleasant. Adio. I've had my revenge.
What am I to do with this? Fred, are you a robot now?
I was. I should be. Except that God is merciful, and evil doesn't always triumph.
What do you mean?
I don't know exactly, but listen to me.
You sound like my Fred again.
I feel like your old Fred again, and not so old. I'm aware of blood coursing through my veins. My heart is pumping, my brain moving and reacting. Look at me, Sarah. Is there a door in my back?
No. No, but how?
It's beyond me to explain, except every time before that ghoul stole another body, the soul was lost, till this time, because there was already a body made in my image for my soul to invest.
Then you are my Fred.
Thanks to God. Even my voice is back. Most of all, my voice. That's the greatest irony of all.
What do you mean, darling?
For months I've kept it from you. But now I don't need to anymore. He, Self, the professor, whatever he was or is, stole my body and left me the image to dwell in now. And by so doing, saved my life and condemned himself.
The body he left me is new and capable of long life. My body that he stole has less than a month to live. It has... I had incurable cancer of the larynx.
The collapse of a star and his disappearance from the stage was a 3-day wonder in the press. But the public is fickle. Within weeks, the great Janus was out of mind. Fred's in real estate now, happy to forget Janus the Great. And Sarah has provided a new member for the act, a lusty young son whose voice has all the range of his father's, at least in decibels, if not in trickery. I'll be back shortly.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
As for that mysterious and indefinable character, the professor, whoever he was, his car went out of control on the Harlem River Drive and plunged into the canal. Since he could not swim, whether or not his life might have been saved will never be answered. Since by that time his larynx was so deeply infected by the growth that strangled it, he had no voice to cry for help. Our cast included Victor Jory, Amzie Strickland, and Brett Morrison. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Who is it? I can't see over the back of the seat.
I don't know about the passengers, but it's the stewardess who was up front.
How did she get to the rear of the plane?
I don't know.
Shh. That's it. Mr. Schaefer in K-1.
Stewardess.
In a moment, Mr. Morris. Miss Newman in S1 and Mr. Downing in S2. Make them secure.
Stewardess, I demand to be released and let off at this stop.
Thank you, boys. As soon as you're out, we'll button up and take off.
Stewardess, do you hear me?
Didn't you hear? Why won't you listen?
We are in the takeoff run. Please do not smoke and make sure that all safety belts are fastened. Not release until a light goes on.
Do not release. Laughs. Who has a chance?
Can't you stop it, Mr. Bond? Some way?
Yes, I can't, Jenny.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Seven seconds from midnight. Temperature is 74 degrees. Music with Bill Garrity after the news. This is KOIN Portland.
CBS News. Officials at Tennessee State Prison now say five inmates and two guards were injured in the disturbance triggered when the kitchen ran out of pork chops. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Administrative assistant to the warden, Amos Wilson, detailed the incident for CBS News.
The institution is quiet. All men have been returned to their units and to their cells. The incident started in the dining room. We ran out of an item of food, namely pork chops, and they were served some bologna, and that from that it flashed over into and spread from the dining room. We have 5 men in the hospital, outside hospitals, and then some other minor injuries that have been treated here at the institution. Of the 5 that are out there at the present time, they're all inmates. 2 officers were injured in the initial flare-up. Two of them were taken out and treated and have come back to duty.
Wilson says 3 of the injured inmates appear to be in serious condition. Negotiations between prisoner representatives and the prison administration are continuing. CBS News continues following this message.
Hear ye, hear ye. Chief Justice John Marshall, CBS News correspondent Fred Graham has a letter for you.
I'm writing, Chief Justice Marshall, to say how thankful we are that you set the course for enforcing our constitutional law. When put to the test, we have proved once more that ours is truly a government of laws and not of men. I'd like to tell you what happened.
Listen to what Fred Graham has to say to Chief Justice John Marshall in one of 30 Letters to the American Past, our next big bicentennial special on Saturday, September 20th and Sunday, September 21st. CBS News correspondents address themselves to such patriots as Nathan Hale, John Adams, and Patrick Henry, pointing out what's new and what hasn't changed much in the last 200 years. Don't miss the Bicentennial Weekend, Letters to the American Past, Saturday, September 20th and Sunday, September 21st on the CBS Radio Network.
The Senate is taking a long weekend and will use the time to consider energy policy, having blocked the House attempt to extend oil price controls for 60 days. The Senate action Thursday night came after a lengthy and heated debate and thwarted the House move to achieve a compromise with President Ford to provide more time to work out a longer-range solution to oil policy. Details from CBS News correspondent Nelson Benton.
The debate went into a lengthy lull while Republican leaders talked terms of a procedural compromise with President Ford as he campaigned in New Hampshire. But Democrats would not accept the terms offered by the president for extending oil price controls for 60 days while Congress and the administration seek an accommodation. The House of Representatives had set the stage at midday for temporarily restoring controls, taking about 2 minutes to agree on a 60-day grace period for negotiations between the president and the Congress. When Senate Democratic leaders saw no chance of agreement after 3 hours' debate, they moved to delay action until next Tuesday. Both houses of Congress are taking the rest of the week off. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
President Ford today begins a 2-day campaign swing to St. Louis, Kansas City, Dallas, and Midland, Texas. During campaigning in New Hampshire yesterday for the Republican candidate in next week's special U.S. Senate election, Mr. Ford was seen to be wearing what was thought to be a bulletproof vest under his shirt. Noting Thursday's Agriculture Department crop estimate of record yields of corn, soybeans, and wheat, Mr. Ford said sales to Russia would be better to sell than to store. And he said he hopes the high-level delegation now in Moscow can work out a barter that would benefit the United States in other ways.
I think it's a good deal not only to sell it, but it's conceivable, it's possible, that we can use wheat in a negotiation for oil. And I wouldn't rule out the possibility that that might materialize.
Mr. Ford says such a trade-off would be good for the United States, both economically and diplomatically. Argentina's foreign minister announced Thursday night that President Isabel Perón will take a 45-day leave of absence to recover from a state of exhaustion. More news in a moment.
Rude, an English word meaning discourteous or impolite.
Is it rude to refuse a drink?
No. What's rude is to make someone feel rude for refusing a drink.
Well, I mean, like when someone's drunk, is it rude to insist on driving him home? I mean, even if you have to take his keys away.
No. What's really rude is not caring enough to get involved.
Well, would you say it's rude to tell a friend that you think he's drinking too much?
No. It's rude to pretend he's just having a social drink when what he's having is a drinking problem.
I see.
You know, this may sound rude, but we're going to have to change some of our ideas about what's rude. There are 9 million alcoholic Americans now, and it's time we stop being too polite to help each other. Help someone. Write alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Japan has banned further entry by members of the American Krishna religious sect. The Justice Ministry in Tokyo also says the government will not renew the visas of at least 29 Krishna missionaries known to have arrived in the past 18 months. The ministry says the decision was made because the sect's activities are against public order and morals. Mike Stanley, CBS News.